If you'd like to read with us, Daryl, when he was preaching on Sunday about the seals and stuff on the book, I was thinking, and this scripture come to my mind, you know, the books of the Bible, a lot of it is just plain for us to see instruction and stuff and what God required. Even in the Old Testament, how he was laying down what God accepted as being a right way to live and a wrong way. But then you'll find places in the Old Testament where there was something wrote that until Christ came and the day of Pentecost, the Spirit and everything to reveal to people, there's no way that I believe the men that was writing it understood what they was really writing. It was just that God was inspiring them to write something down, but there's no way they could see it and understand what the full meaning of what they was writing down could have been. And one of them is where David was writing in the Psalms, and this was like 1,000 years or maybe a little more than 1,000 years before Christ came. And I want each and every one of you to read with me on this, the 22nd Psalm. And this is, and you've heard me preach on this before, this is the viewpoint of a crucifixion from the one being crucified. David had never been crucified. I don't know if David had ever even seen anybody crucified. But yet here, listen to this. Start with the first verse. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabited the praise of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb, and thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. Can't see for tears. They gape upon me with their mouth, as a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a posture. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Now, every bit of that was explaining basically, I think, what Christ felt from there in the garden before the crucifixion, and then there hanging on the cross. And a lot of times, you know, me and you, when we go to face something that's going to happen in life, we're imagining what it might be, but we don't understand because we can't see. But Christ here, 1,000 years before he ever came to be crucified, he saw exactly what it was going to be. He knew what it was going to feel like. He even could foresee what it would be like to have the Father forsake him. There in that moment when it seemed like he would need it even more, you and I in there once more, Christ gave us a promise that he didn't even have himself. Because he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And we have the testimony of those that went before. Even in the hour of death, they found God was right there with them. He didn't forsake them. But Christ there hanging on the cross, he come down to the town when he looked up for the first time that he couldn't get on. Oh, the Father, why? God turned him back because he didn't want to look upon sin. And Christ took all of our sins upon him there on Calvary. And seen and realized just what it was going to feel like. And you know, you read that and think of the agony that he must have been going through. And, you know, I've been thirsty in my life a lot of times to where you get to the place where you couldn't even spit. It was just like cotton, but it didn't want to really spit. But here he said, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw. Mouth so dry, no moisture at all, that your mouth is sticking together. Why? Because he was giving everything that he had there for me and you. And even after his death, when they reached up and pierced his side, forthwith come blood and water. Why? Because there was nothing left in his body. He had shed everything. When he come there, the hang on Calvary, he come to give all that he had. That's what it took for me and you to be forgiven. And he seen all that, even back before the foundation of the world. But he let us know that for 1,000 years beforehand, I knew very well what I was going to pay for your sin. You and I today, we need to realize that God, he seen and still loved us enough to be willing to pay such a price. And you know, it's really something for man today. We live in a day and a society that takes everything for granted, that we're owed this, in other words. You know, it makes me sick to hear in the news people grumbling and complaining and thinking that they're owed something just because they're American, our government should take care of us. That's not the responsibility of the government. Me and you should be able to take care of ourselves. And according to the Bible, you know, he said if they won't work, they won't eat. That's why I think all these welfare programs in America should be tied into some kind of a job that these people should be doing if they're physically able to work. If they're not, that's a different story. But I see people all the time in Walmart that if they enforce the weight limits on them little carts that they ride around, there's all kinds of them in there. I don't know how they get around, but they wouldn't be able to ride down because they're way wider than the carts. And they're disabled because they have been blessed so they've overate to where their weight is what's disabling them. Here in America today, we've been blessed above measure, and we're not thankful for what we do have. And here you'll find Christ. He come and paid a price that nobody else could pay. And listen to this again, this 16th verse. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. You and I today, Christ there at Calvary fulfilled every bit of this. And yet today we look at the plan of salvation and just ignore it. Walk upon it as if it wasn't nothing. The world, you know, I've seen people wearing shirts and stuff that says John 3:16 and this and that, and then you see the rest of the way they're dressed, the rest of the way they have their hair cut, the tattoos and everything. They go totally contrary to what the Bible says. You and I today, we don't take what God says and requires of us seriously. But he paid a price, not for garbage. Granted, no matter what we've been into, he can forgive us. But when he forgives us, he expects us to come out and live a different life. Live a life that is like a child of a king. Because that's what it is. We owe him everything. And we should live our life to where the world, when they look at us, they see Christ. They see what a price was paid for us, that it makes us different. And we should hunger and thirst after the things of God. When we see here and reading this, just exactly what Christ knew ahead of time he was going to have to pay. And yet he was still willing. You know, right there in the garden, not my will, thy will be done. There's his nailing to the tree. Father, forgive them. You know, that's something I can't comprehend, because that wouldn't be in my heart. You and I today, we see people that mistreats a child and they do this and that. All the anger that raises in it and the mind that we have to get even with that person for what they're doing. In Christ, they were never wanting to get even with those that were nailed into the tree. Why? That was my sin. That was your sin. That was nailed in there. And he come and died for that purpose. And we need to realize that though the world has changed, the plan of salvation has not. You know, we want everything modern. Everything has changed. You know, back when I was a kid, I'm 78 years old. And back when I was a kid, you know, I can remember when, anyhow, in the area where I live, when they first started getting telephones. And I can remember when TVs was a very new thing. I mean, the first TVs, man, they was a big thing, but they had a little old bitty screen on them, black and white. I mean, telephones, you had a party line, they might be 10 people on your line, and each one of you had a different ring. You had to sit there and wait and see how many times it was going to ring, 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 to know whether it was for you to pick up or somebody else on the party line. And, I mean, all kinds of people today, they would think that was awful to live in a time like that. That was not that long ago. We're so spoiled by all of our, you know, I've seen a thing about that. A microwave, and people irritated because it took 2 minutes to do something. They're standing there in a microwave. That if they didn't have that, it would be like 5-10 minutes or longer to get something done. And they're standing there impatient because that microwave can't do it in a second. you and I today. We've been so blessed, and yet we do not have the thankfulness that we ought to have. God has blessed us above measure with the things of God that He's given us. The Spirit, a place to go and worship God in spirit and truth. Look at the countries in the world that don't have the privilege of going to church and worshiping the true God. You realize in Arab countries, you can be put to death if you really pray into the true God. Why? Because to recognize Him, that means their God is nothing. And He isn't. There is no God on the face of the earth that did what our God did. Willing to come and die that we might be redeemed. And the thing about it is, they can't deny that Christ lived. Because there's more, do you realize there's more evidence that Christ lived and died and rose again than there is for kings and stuff that ruled back in the past and they left records of that? But there's more evidence on that Christ did what He came to do and fulfilled all that than all of the other, and yet they're still trying to deny it to today. And each and every one of us, you think here, a book that was wrote over 1,000 years before Christ come to explain the crucifixion and to give what He did here, how on earth can we minimize what Christ did? How can we even think, well, you know, He didn't know. He didn't understand. There's no way that He knew. You know, Daryl, I remember, been several years ago, he preached a message, "Nothing ever occurred to God." You and I, you know, God's never been surprised about nothing because He knew ahead of time what was going to be. Each and every one of us, we need to realize God made it possible that we could be forgiven. We could be born again. Here in this season of Thanksgiving, you know, we should see even something like this. Maybe go home and read this 22nd Psalm and really contemplate on it and realize just how thankful you need to be that we got a Savior that cared that much for me and for you, that He was willing to pay such a price, knowing exactly what it was going to cost Him. You know, He said, "Nobody takes my life, but I give it." And that's why when it come down time for Him to die, He said, "Father, it is finished." And He gave up the ghost. You and I today, God still loves us, and He's reaching out, but I don't know how much longer God's going to be dealing with the Gentile people.
Yeah.
Because we are ignoring, passing by every opportunity God's given us, acting like, I guess, that He owes us much more, not realizing we owe Him more than we can ever repay. And I hope and pray that each and every one of you here in this Thanksgiving season will truly take the time to thank God for what He's done for you and take the time to be mindful of the plan of salvation and how real it is. Not that this world can even begin to understand fully the cost of it, you know, because I've never seen a person crucified. I can only imagine how horrible that would be. But, you know, you'll see that they're putting somebody to death today or whenever, and the world will talk about, oh, that's cruel and unusual punishment, when they slaughtered somebody brutally, and yet they don't want them to be put to sleep with a needle and their life taken. If man could see one crucifixion, what it really was, what it puts a body through, maybe we'd realize somebody must have really loved me to willingly go and die such a death as that for me. But we've never seen nothing like that. We can't imagine what it's like. I remember reading, I wish I had a copy of that. I remember reading a doctor done a study on the crucifixion, just how that a person dies. And you know, I never, when I was young, I couldn't understand why a person hanging on a cross, why they would break their legs to kill them when they was there if they want them to die quicker. The legs is what, after hanging there so long and the weight and everything on their chest and from their arm, it said it put the chest in such spasms that it wouldn't even open up from to be able to breathe, take air in. So they had to push with their legs against the nails to take the pressure off of their arm so they could get a breath of air. And they said basically a crucifixion, a person ends up smothered when they lose so much blood and they get so weak they can't push up. Well, if they was crucified and didn't have time to die before dark in the Sabbath, then they'd break their legs so they couldn't push up. And it'd make them die quicker. You'll find in the Bible, God said it wasn't going to be a bone of him broken. When they come and they see he was dead already, they didn't break his bones, but they reached up and pierced his side. And the last bit of blood that was in there come rushing out. You and I today, Christ seen that. That same doctor, he said, because the body was in such agony and stress, there's a sack around your heart. I had a virus once, and they said that sort of had fluid around that, and I thought I was over the virus, and I went back to work and started doing a little bit of physical work, and they said because of that fluid that was in that sack, it would not let my heart pick up its beat the way it would normally, and I just passed out. There, he said, person being crucified, that sack will fill up with fluid so much that it would burst a lot of times. Here's what I read to you. Said my heart's melted like wax and run down in my mouth. They said when it would burst, that person would feel just like something real hot being poured out inside of them. Christ even told us that before a doctor ever discovered it. That's why he knew everything it was going to cost him, and he was still willing. Are we willing to really give our heart and life to the Lord and be an example that the world can see of what a Christian should be? While we get a song to sing, if there's one here, and you feel like you need to pray, now's the time to do it, because we never know what we're going to face tomorrow. God's give us today for us to make sure that we're prepared to meet him. Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. You don't know when your appointment's going to come, but you know when it does. What's next? The judgment. And how will you stand before God? While we sing, will you come?